countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
But first, Ag Mental Health Week begins tomorrow. Now in its second year, it aims to bring the global farming community together to talk about mental health. There'll be daily tips, a special walk next Wednesday, and starting tomorrow, there'll be an international panel discussion on aspects of mental health, all live streamed on Facebook each evening at 7pm at Ag Mental Health Week. Thomas McCarthy will be speaking on Friday evening, and in May of last year, his father, 59-year-old Paddy McCarthy, died by suicide. This week, I met Thomas on the family farm in Balnadee, County Cork, and he began by telling me more about his late father, Paddy.
So Dad was a very hard-working man. He loved farming, he loved being outside, he loved music, he loved having the crack, he enjoyed going into Kinsale every weekend, dancing. Like he was mad into music down there. He was very a happy person, always cracking jokes, like the life and soul of most parties, and he really didn't take himself too seriously, but he loved what he did.
And was he farming all his life?
He was, yeah, from a young age. So he grew up in the house there behind you, actually. And he was farming since he was young. And I think he had a massive passion for it. And, you know, he loved it, but it's just hard, you know.
Yeah. What sort of a farm?
So it was beef and tillage. But last year we sold off all the cattle. And we have most of the farm rented now. And we have a few acres held back for ourselves for rescue animals like donkeys and goats and sheep. Because my older sister Anna, that's kind of her passion. So the majority of it is rented.
And so your dad farmed here all his life, tillage and cattle, on his own, yeah. Here, was he?
On his own, but like his father would have helped him until he kind of got too old. And then his brother, Donny, our uncle as well, he'd always help him as well. And then the four of us, whenever we could, when we were younger, we'd be doing odd jobs around the place. So he wasn't really kind of alone until, I suppose, we all went off for college or for work or moved abroad, and then I think he was more by himself.
And what sort of music was he into?
He loved Bruce Springsteen. He loved there's a band called Kincaid and a band called Crazy Chester. He just loved the music, especially Kinsale, like the dancing and all that.
And then tragedy struck the family here. When was that?
At the 1st of May last year. Yeah, so he took his own life. I think it was 11 o'clock in the morning or around that time. So yeah, in the middle of the height of the first lockdown pandemic, so that's when he did it.
And how much of a shock was it? Was there any indication at all that he was unwell or?
No, like I think, you know, looking back, everyone probably thought it was just lockdown, and you know, you could say that everyone was feeling a bit, I wouldn't say depressed, but they're just sick of the lockdown, sick of COVID. So I think, you know, maybe people might have thought it was that, but there was no indication. He never spoke about his mental health. He never asked for help. He never let anyone know that he was feeling suicidal or feeling down in any way. So it was a real massive shock. None of us saw it coming. He was private about those kind of, you know, his mental health issues. He never spoke about any of them ever. So that's why it was so shocking.
And what do you think drove him to do what he did?
Well, he suffered a great loss when he was an identical triplet, and his brother passed away when they were, I think, the age of 7 in front of him in a farming accident. And my other uncle Gus, who's still alive, he dealt with that trauma. He got help in his 30s. He spoke to counsellors, and you know, he dealt with that. But my father would have bottled up his feelings and never would have spoken about it. And then I think as time went on, it was just a ticking time bomb. He never dealt with it. And then, you know, that with the pressure of COVID and lockdown and not being able to see people and not being able to socialise and dance, I think it was all just a bit too much for him. They all play a factor, but, you know, during, let's say, the first lockdown, where, let's say, the farmers would meet maybe once or twice a week, or something like the mart or something else to do with farming, that was all taken away. So men who were isolated or who felt they were alone and couldn't speak to anyone, now their only lifeline, whatever it was, maybe was taken away and they're in lockdown. And then I think it just kind of all, you know, got a bit too much for some people, especially probably for Dad. That's maybe what happened.
Was he a sociable man?
He was, yeah, very sociable. Like, he would have loved going down to Kinsale, like, once or twice a week, have a few pints, have a few, you know, a bit of a dance. And then I feel like once that was taken away, you couldn't do that. It's just a knock-on effect that people don't realise about, maybe, you know, like, COVID and the lockdowns.
Yeah. What impact has his death had on you and the people left behind?
Well, it's fairly heartbreaking. Like, you know, you're left to deal with the answers that you're never, or the questions that you're never going to get an answer to, like why he did it. And then you kind of think in the back of your mind, is there anything I could have done to prevent this? And there's a bit of guilt, and you know, and you think, oh, how come I didn't notice anything, or why didn't he say anything? But those, I think, are just natural. It's a natural part of the whole grieving process. But like dealing with, you know, we all came together. We dealt with the farm, and like we cleaned up the farm. We sorted out the cattle. We looked out for each other. But like the loss that he's left behind with us, you know, it'll stay for the rest of our lives. And it's something that will never go away.
Do you have any regrets that you didn't speak to him maybe a few days beforehand? You were in Canada, I believe.
I was in Canada, yeah. I actually called him. I had a Zoom call with him about a week and a half before he passed away. And I sent him, I don't know why I did this, I can't remember the reason, but a food shop from Kinsale, just delivered it to the house. And then when I found out he took his own life, it was kind of like, what? It was a shock. But like, yeah, I wouldn't have spoken to him much while I was abroad. But I wish I had spoken to him more. Yeah.
What do you say to people that are listening to us now that feel that they need some sort of help, and but they're maybe too proud or too shy or too scared to share their problems with somebody else?
I would say find someone they trust, someone they really trust, whether it's a family member, a friend or a neighbour, or ring an anonymous helpline, you know, like Samaritans or Peter House, or ring someone where they don't know who you are. And if you're, you know, if you're afraid of naming yourself or whatever it is, or shame or whatever, just ring someone either you can trust or ring someone anonymous, because there is help out there. Like, just there are people who want to help. That's, it's their job, and like, you're not weak for doing it, so reach out to people.
And by speaking to us here today through difficult times, because you're still grieving, it wasn't that long ago, maybe it will help other people to deal with what they're going through.
Yeah.
That's your hope.
Hopefully, yeah. Like, I feel like if someone's listening to this, and if, let this be their message to go and actively search for help, speak to someone they trust. As soon as you say it, you will be so shocked at the relief that it has.
And to think about the people left behind, like,
yeah,
yourself.
Exactly. And if you really love those people, you wouldn't want to put them through what our family has been through, or what any other family who have experienced suicide have been through.
Well, Thomas, our condolences to you and your family, and thank you for being so brave to speak to us today on something so difficult, and so, I suppose, deep. And as we said, hopefully it will help other people that are listening. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was Thomas McCarthy talking about his late father, Paddy. He will be speaking along with Emma Picton-Jones from Wales on a live stream next Friday night as part of Ag Mental Health Week. If you need to talk to somebody, the Samaritans are at 116123. That's 116123. You can phone them, or you can email Joe, that's jo@samaritans.ie. And a list of other helplines is at rte.ie/helplines.